The Lord be with you. So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. That's how Mark's gospel ends, which to me doesn't seem like a great ending to a gospel, to have the only witnesses to the resurrection run away in terror and not tell anyone. The other gospel writers seem to agree with me because they all make a point to say that the women do, in fact, eventually tell people. And if you look in your Bible at home, it will say that in Mark chapter 16, additional endings get added later to make this same point. But the earliest version of the earliest gospel ends with the witnesses to the resurrection running away in terror and telling no one. Why? Well, let me be clear. Mark's gospel is not making a dig at the women who go to the tomb. Quite the contrary. Mark goes to great lengths to praise these women. The gospel shows that these women are pious. They wait until the Sabbath is over to buy their spices. They wait until the day of rest is done. The gospel shows that these women are brave. Of the disciples, it is these women alone who are willing to risk being associated with Jesus after he is arrested and crucified. And the gospel shows that these women are planners. They are up at the crack of dawn, already brainstorming who they can recruit to roll away the stone for them. These women are pious, brave, and they're planners. Put these women in charge of a church committee. Because these women know how to get stuff done. They know how the world works and how to work with it. And that's the problem. The problem is these women think they understand what to expect from the world. And so they aren't surprised when Jesus is crucified. If we're honest, none of us are. Jesus went around teaching that we could create a society that runs not on wealth, but on love. Jesus went around teaching that our religion could be defined not by who we exclude, but by who we include. Jesus thought that he could change the world not by seizing power from others, but through sacrificial service to others. Now, these are fine ideals, noble ideals even. But we all know that's not how the world really works. We know that people who try to live this way are fools who end up broke or dead or both. And so we take Jesus' teaching with a grain of salt. We incorporate bits and pieces of it into our spare time, but mostly we go about living our lives the way we know that the world really works. And so it's not surprising that Jesus gets crucified. It's not terrifying that Jesus dies. What's surprising is that death doesn't stop Jesus. That's what's terrifying to the women, because the women at the tomb know what it means that Jesus has risen from the dead. The women at the tomb know that the resurrection means that Jesus' teaching can't just be written off as a lost cause to be admired and ignored. The women at the tomb know that the resurrection means that money and military are not the most powerful forces in this world. The women at the tomb know that the resurrection means that the only tool that tyrants have is to scare us about death. And death has lost its sting. And so the women at the tomb know that the resurrection means that there is a new reality, a reality which requires them to live in new ways. And this is what terrifies them. And it terrifies me too. If I'm honest, there are days when I don't want to witness to the resurrection, because witnessing to the resurrection means living in the resurrection reality. It means admitting that all my excuses for not living as Jesus calls me to live are as empty as the tomb. And it's terrifying because I don't know if I'm ready to do that. But if Jesus isn't stopped by the Roman army, if Jesus isn't stopped by being nailed to the cross, if Jesus isn't stopped by being buried in the tomb, then Jesus sure isn't going to be stopped by my fear. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that the risen Christ appeared not just one time to one group of people, but that the risen Christ appeared again and again and again. The risen Christ appears to the disciples, yes, but the risen Christ also appears to a crowd of 500 people hungry to hear that there is a new reality. The risen Christ even appears to Paul, who's the biggest stick in the mud, by who his own admission says that he tried to squash this ridiculous Jesus movement. But when the risen Christ appears to Paul, Paul witnesses the resurrection reality and it changes his life forever. You see, the good news that is Jesus Christ cannot be contained by tombs of death, and it certainly cannot be contained by the terror of Jesus' disciples. God will always find a witness and God will always find a way. Mark's gospel ends with the witnesses to the resurrection running away in terror and telling no one, so that you will ask, well then, how does the good news get shared? So that you will ask, well then, how is the world to know that we need not be afraid, that we can live with generous hearts and hands because God's goodness is enough for all? Who will tell the world that tyrants have no power, for love alone is Lord of life? When you ask, who will tell the good news? Well, the answer, my friend, is you. May you be the witness that this world needs to hear that there is a resurrection reality. May you, by your words of faith, proclaim, Alleluia, Christ is risen. May you, by your deeds of generosity, proclaim, Alleluia, Christ is risen. May you, with the very hope that radiates through your very being, proclaim, Alleluia, Christ is risen. Mark's gospel doesn't end. It leaves a blank space, because Mark's gospel knows that the world will again need a witness to the resurrection. May you continue this gospel. May you be the witness this world needs to hear. Amen.